Good morning. I greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Duane has asked that we read from 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. As we studied our Sunday school lesson this morning on the wages of sin being death, and thought for a half an hour or more on sin, where it started, where it leads to, I was so happy that our Sunday school teacher got to the answer for the problem of sin in closing. That God loved us enough, He commended His love towards us, that He sent us Jesus Christ, even though we were still in our sins. I just wanted to jump out of my seat and say, amen. That's what we're here to worship this morning. That yes, we were sinners. Yes, we still sin. But God loves us enough that He provided an answer for that sin. Praise to God for His love and His mercy and His grace this morning. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. For no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Let's kneel for prayer.
Certainly appreciated Brother Brian's prayer on our behalf, as well as you praying. Just a couple things here before we begin. One is that some of you may be wondering, I was reassessed by Mayo Clinic this past week by video appointment, kind of unique and interesting how technology allows us to communicate, see each other thousands of miles away. And but at any rate, the doctor there was very pleased with my numbers right now and where we're at. And so there is no extended treatment or extra treatment planned at this point. And we will be revisiting with her in about 6 weeks. So that's just a little update there. Again, we thank you, and heard some others mentioning their thanks for your prayers, and hey, we can't say enough on that. But thank you for praying, for your love and support of us, different ways. We appreciate that. Second thing is, I'd like to clarify something, and I guess make an apology. That is, the last time I preached here in the morning, I said something to the extent that I hate the words conservative and liberal. And I want to clarify that. I realized afterwards that the word hate was a little strong. I didn't mean it quite like that. What I meant was, I dislike them at times with the reasoning that they are misused sometimes, or inappropriately or incorrectly, I should say, assumed when used. Now, I use this example. I know of a couple who are liberal in their thinking and some of the way they their theological thinking. So in that sense, they would be liberals. But they have approached life and lived life very conservatively, probably more so than most of us here, if not all of us. And so my point in saying that was that those words sometimes, depending on how they're used, may not be accurate, depending on how they're expressed. So I apologize. At the same time, I wanted to clarify my comment on that. All right, on with the task at hand here. Nelson Bell was a medical missionary to China from 1916 to 1941, and those were the days of political unrest in China, I guess much like today. But they were foreigners faced animosity, and at first the Chinese called him a foreign devil. But Bell lovingly and prayerfully treated their ills and injuries and showed them the love of Christ. And by the end of his service in China, he was called the Bell who is lover of the Chinese people. You know, I've thought about that. How would you like to be remembered? I think the Lord tarries and I die before he comes back. One way I might like to be remembered is that I was a lover of people. I think that's pretty significant. In John Pollock's book, A Foreign Devil in China, it's a story of Nelson Bell. A patient was quoted saying, "Dr. Bell moved around that great number of people who came in and out," meaning of the clinic, "and showed the same care and tenderness to each one, showed them love." Nelson's wife's name was Virginia, and they had a long and harmonious marriage. And in their older age, his wife needed a lot of care, and one day his daughter, Ruth, who was Ruth, Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, one day she came in and entered her parents' home and found her father on his hands and knees. He was putting Virginia's stockings on her, and looking up, Nelson said, "You know, the greatest privilege of my life is taking care of your mother." Sounds to me like Nelson Bell knew something about how to love others. It sounds like he knew that God loved him. And then Bell allowed that love to be the source behind his love for God and his love for others. I might say here that this sermon this morning is going to dovetail with Brother Brian's last Sunday evening. If you didn't hear it or you weren't, I'd encourage you to watch it or listen to it. He spoke on walking in love, and I may even say some of the same things, but I think it's going to be a little different. But at any rate, we must need it. Back in February, I shared a sermon on God's love and his love for us. This morning, we want to look at what should be the effects of God's love and on our lives as believers. So the title of the message this morning is A Debt I Cannot Pay. A Debt I Cannot Pay. To talk about God's love is a wonderful thing to do, and it's a tremendous blessing to be loved by God, isn't it? Brian talked about this morning. The way he loves us, what a blessing. And when God loves us and when God's love is accepted, it brings freedom from bondage and no longer a need to try to earn God's love. It brings forgiveness. It brings joy and peace, even in the midst of difficult times. His love for us is just an amazing truth. Try to grasp it, you just can't completely. It's amazing truth. As believers who have been and are recipients of God's love through Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, God's love is now working within us, and we have a responsibility placed upon us. The love of God, which is now impacting our lives, is to be leaving some life-changing effects. We'd like to look at several of them. Number one, God's love defines who we are. We are to be people who love. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That verse there that I just read, God is giving the authority, so to speak, to the unbelievers of this world to look at us and to determine whether we're Christians by our love for one another. 1 John 2:9-11, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Believers are in the light. We talk about light and darkness. Believers are in the light, and it is proved by loving our brother and our sister. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't stop there. It says, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Loving one another is a must for those of us who believe in Jesus. 1 John 4:7-8 that were read this morning. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, now listen to this, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. That sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Because if I claim to be a believer and I can't love a brother and sister, he that loveth not knoweth not God. 1 John 4. Again, verses down further in the chapter, I didn't have Brother Brian read, but verses 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We can't say we love God if we don't love our brother or sister. Can't say it. Well, it doesn't stop at loving other believers, does it? Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, we are even to love our enemies, even the Russians. Bless them that curse us, do good to them that hate us, and pray for them which despitefully or insult or slander or falsely accuse and persecute us. Believers are to put on love, Colossians 3:14, which is the bond of perfectness. Bond is the uniting principle, the ligament, so to speak. When I broke my leg about 20 couple years ago, I heard that snap and I looked down. My foot was going the opposite direction. Why? Because the ligaments tore too. They weren't holding it in place. Well, love holds things in place. It's that perfect uniting bond. We are to follow after love, according to 1 Corinthians 14:1, and to continue in love, according to 1 Timothy 2:15. We are to have a fervent love, 1 Peter 4:8, amongst us, which means an intense. That's just not a casual, yeah, I love you. That's a fervent, intense love without ceasing. That's the meaning. Romans 13:8, and where really taking the title of the message from, says, owe no man anything but this, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. It means that we never get out from under that debt. It doesn't feel good if you have a house payment or something, you get out from under debt. Here's a debt we never get out from under. The debt we cannot pay because we continually are to be loving one another. It's a debt we owe. We never pay that debt off, but always owe others our love. This loving of others is not something only the spiritually mature believers are expected to do, but is the heartbeat the heartbeat of the faith of all believers. No exceptions. It is to be the mark of all believers that they are people who love. God's love defines who we are. Number two, God's love changes our relationships. First, because of God's love, we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That relationship has been restored for us as believers. Because God loved us first, we are now in a position to be able to love Him in return. 1 John 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. It means to be bestowed, to pour forth, to gush out. In other words, the love of God is poured into us in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's gushing out. It's a lot of it in there. And it's given unto us, according to Romans 5:5. Without God loving us first, it would be impossible for us to love God. You believe that? I believe that's what Scripture is telling us. Without God loving us first, it would be impossible for us to love God in return. We're not capable of doing it without His love first being poured into us. God's love is poured into our hearts, gushing out by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit then enables us to return that love to God, where I can love Him back, and you can love Him back. How do we evidence that love? Scripture is very, very clear on that. We evidence it by our obedience. Our obedience is a response to God's love for us and proves our love for Him. John 14:15, if you love me, Jesus speaking, keep my commandments. Actually, like the way the New American Standard says it, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I believe that's true, because it will prove our love. Because God first loved us, we now can love Him and be in a right relationship with Him. Secondly, God has, in this thought of God's love changes our relationships, not only can we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, but secondly, we can properly love ourselves. We can properly love ourselves. You know, in some ways, we don't have any problem loving ourselves, at least improperly loving ourselves. We don't have a problem with that, maybe that's the wrong word. We don't fail to do it. It's our old sin nature to put ourselves first, consider ourselves as the top priority, most important. We don't have to be taught that. We don't have to be taught to lift ourselves up and in pride think highly of ourselves. Comes pretty natural, doesn't it? The old sin's nature. Yet there are times when perhaps the hardest person for us to love is the guy or the gal that we see in the mirror. Why is that? Could be due to not being able to forgive ourselves for something, or seeing ourselves as failures, or not liking how God has created us, maybe how He's given or not given us certain looks or abilities, talents. Still, with all this, we are to love ourselves. What does that mean? Well, Matthew, the reason I'm saying it, that we are to love ourselves, Jesus speaking in Matthew 22, we know that one of the Pharisees came to Jesus, a lawyer, and asked Him a question, tempting Him, saying in verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor, how? As thyself. Implying that there's a right kind of love for ourself. And he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There's a proper way to love ourselves. It does not involve lifting ourselves up. But it does involve forgiving ourselves because God's loving, in his love, has forgiven us. And it does involve accepting how God made us, understanding he did so in love. And it does involve not seeing ourselves as a failure. That's Satan's lie anyway. But it involves not seeing ourselves as a failure because God says, I have fearfully and wonderfully made you, and I love you even when you fail. I understand your human frailty. I still love you so you can properly love yourself. And someone has said, now you have to think about this really, you got to let it sink in. Someone has said, it's not, or this loving of ourselves is not about thinking less of myself, just thinking of myself less. You have to think that through in terms of what we're saying here. And I say that carefully because I never want to imply that we are to elevate self. Pride. But it's not about thinking less of myself, it's just thinking of myself less. Now, David Jeremiah explains this way, and I like his thought on this, whether you like him or not, I'm going to quote him here. He explains what he believes Jesus meant when telling us to love ourselves. He simply meant that we are to love ourselves the same way God loves us. As creatures made in his image, for his purposes and for his glory. To love ourselves as God loves us means we seek after his best for our lives. We conform ourselves to his expectations. We live according to his guidelines. And we learn over time to yield our natural, carnal impulses to the control and counsel of the Spirit of God in us. When we do that, we begin to live functional instead of dysfunctional lives. We find peace and joy. Indeed, all the fruit of this Holy Spirit begins to characterize our lives. End quote. I think he's right in that thought. How we are to love ourselves and the proper way of loving ourselves. Because God loves us, we now can properly, and that's the key word, properly love ourselves. God's love for us changes our relationships. We can now be in a right relationship with God and love him. We can now properly love ourselves. And thirdly, because God loves us, under this thought of God's love changing our relationships, we can truly love others. First John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought, meaning not that it's a good idea, and if you want to, you can, it's really a command, we ought also to love one another. And then verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Jesus said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Again, very clear that we are to love one another. What does loving others look like? First of all, number one, I believe it is sharing in the needs of others and serving one another. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, when we minister or serve one another and share in their needs, it is a labor of love. It's a way of loving. Augustine wrote this. He said, and I quote, "What does love look like? It has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has the eyes to see misery and want. It has the ears to hear the sights and sorrows of men. This is what love looks like," unquote. Yes, it does. The invisible God of the universe. Think of this, how awesome this is. And I'm one of those that thinks really the only time to use awesome is when we're referring to God. He's the only awesome person or one. But the invisible God of the universe can be seen in the acts of love of his people. This loving of others perfects or completes God's love in us. It accomplishes God's love. It fulfills its purpose. God's love in us, he has a purpose for it being there. And one of them is to reveal him to others by the acts of love that we share, the labors of love. I like these words. I don't know who the writer is of them, but listen. It says, "Saw a car at a stoplight. A man there with a cardboard sign." You see any of them? You see a lot of them when I was going into the cities. "Saw the window rolled down. A hand reached out and gave him a five. And in the line at the Walmart, three kids in a shopping cart. Single mom counting change. Ain't no way it's stretching that far. Cashier said it's been paid, and I catch a glimpse of a stranger with a smile on his face." You know, I had that happen to me a couple of years ago at Mark's Discount. Rolled up to the register there and put all my stuff on the register. He added it up, and he said, "Someone before you said it's paid." Looks like love to me. Looks like hope in the middle of a hopeless street. Looks just like what the world needs from us. Looks like Jesus. Sitting at a diner where I saw a man with silver hair. Table for two, feeding his wife. Like every night, she just stares. If you had someone in that situation, you know what I'm talking about. He says, "For 60 years, this has been our place." He's treating her like it's their first date. Looks like love. Looks like love to me. Looks like hope in the middle of a hopeless street. Looks just like what the world needs from us. You know what? Looks like Jesus. Galatians 5:13 says this, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." It talks about serving. Serving one another there. But it also implies in that verse that our love for others involves living a life of a good example. That draws others to Christ and not to sin. You know, 1 Corinthians 10 speaks of being concerned about others' the conscience of others, even if it might be okay for me, being concerned about that and not drawing them into sin some way, but drawing them to Christ. So one way that we love others is by meeting their needs, serving them, and living a good example. That always draws others to Christ. Number two, loving others involves speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." The context there is the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Speaking the truth in love. You know, it's important to speak the truth. That part of loving others, I'm going to say we probably got that pretty good. I don't want to say that pridefully, but We're not perfect. We don't always get it right. And I'm talking about all of us. We're probably pretty good at speaking the truth. But we may struggle with doing it sometimes or always doing it in love. Whether it's in our homes, at work, in the church, from this pulpit, in official meetings, in council meetings, no matter where, we are to speak the truth, but do it in love. In love. You know, if we speak the truth, but it's not in love, we're doing more damage than good, I believe. And would have been better to have been quiet. You say, but I spoke the truth. But the fact that it wasn't in love is damaging. I would have been better to be quiet. What is my attitude behind what I'm saying? You know, when I sit back and I actually think about that sometimes after what something I've said, the attitude isn't always right. It wasn't always in love. What kind of attitude is perceived by how I say it? It's possible to say the right thing, but say it so wrongly. However, on the other hand, it is possible to be very firm on the truth and yet say it in a way that it is in love. But we need to be careful. Thirdly, loving others involves covering sins, forgiving. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Ephesians 4:32, a verse that we learned very young, probably one of the first verses. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The idea of 1 Peter 4:8 and of covering sins, love covers a multitude of sins. I believe it means to love others even when they do sin. That's following God's example. Romans 5:8 makes it clear that God showed us love, and I believe Brother Brian referred to the verse in some of his comments. God showed us his love when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. It doesn't mean that the sin doesn't matter. But it means we still love. See, there's a difference. We still love. Also, I believe it involves not being in a hurry to share the sin of someone with another. Uh-oh. How are we doing on that one? I failed. Times in the past. It seems there's a tendency for us to be the opposite of that at times. Quicker I can share it with someone, the better. Why is that? I'm not loving very good. Love forgives others over and over and over again. We may think, well, they should have known better, implying we don't want to forgive, or the person doesn't deserve it. I'm sure glad God doesn't look at me that way. Aren't you? I tell you, if God looked at me that way, it would be no use me standing here. It wouldn't be any use I was living, or at least not for eternity. I would have no hope. Love shares in the needs of others, serves one another, speaks the truth in love, covers sins, forgives. Fourthly, loving others means love is long-suffering and patient. 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. How? In love. If we struggle with being patient with others, we need to love better. For example, the horn on our vehicle, you know, we really don't need to use it that often, do we?
How good of an example is it for a Christian to be letting others know that he or she isn't very patient by honking the horn? It's interesting. Last night, and I don't know who the people were behind us, my son and I made a run to McDonald's. I don't go there that much anymore. So I'll clarify that. I'm trying to eat. My eating habits have changed drastically. And you can talk to my wife about it. She'll back that up. But at any rate, we made a quick run there, and they told us to pull up to the line, and they'd bring it out. We did. And the lady brings it out and hands it to my son. He was driving. No longer did she hand it to him when we hardly had time to look at it, and it didn't look right. The guy behind her, gal, I don't know who it was, burped their horn. You know, that irritated me more than I shouldn't have, but I'm being honest with you. It kind of irritated me. I didn't think they were fair. How many times haven't I been fair? Somebody. You know, there's times I've failed at it when I thought someone's failure, their mistake, or their stupidity. Guess what? Guess who's been stupid sometimes on the highway? This guy. But I thought, you know, they deserved my horn. But you know what? I needed to love better. Loving others involves being patient and then showing understanding. Someone said this, and I like this quote, "People don't care how much I know until they know how much I care." Think of that one. People don't care how much I know until they know how much I care. Fifthly, loving others means being kind. Again, 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Christians are to be known for their love, and a very essential part of that love is being kind. It's one of the first things we are taught as children. Again, I referenced Ephesians 4:32 earlier. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Yet sometimes we struggle so much with that, don't we? There was a conversation between a mother and a son. The boy inquired, "What do people say when they get married?" She replied, "Oh, they promise to love and be kind to each other." That's a good start. After a moment, the child looked up and asked innocently, "You're not always married, are you, mother?" Kind of humorous, but maybe not. Maybe sobering. I wonder what our neighbors might say about, "You're not always a Christian, are you?" Would they say that? One of the qualities of a virtuous woman is in Proverbs 31:26 is a kind tongue. That kindness is important for a man, too. Kind tongue. We have so many opportunities each day just to be kind. Sometimes it's just a smile. Yeah. How different is it if somebody walks by and don't even look at you? Instead, they walk by and they smile. Maybe it's a tear, shedding a tear with somebody. Shows we care. Maybe it's a text, a phone call, card, a letter. You name it. Words. You know, sometimes silence is kindness. Sometimes silence is love. Dr. William McGrath, he's a prominent psychiatrist. He says, 90% of all mental illness that comes before me could have been prevented or could yet be cured by simple kindness. Think it's important? It's an essential part of loving others. What kind of testimony is a grouchy, nasty, harsh-sounding Christian? An old Scottish proverb says, and I quote, "Remember, if you are not very kind, you are not very spiritual." One quote, and I believe that's true. A form of kindness, then, is number six. Loving others involves being courteous and respectful. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, meaning love, does not behave itself unseemly. The New King James says, does not behave rudely.
1 Peter 3:8, finally be all one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brother, and be pitiful, be courteous. The following story illustrates the sad state of manners today. A man gave a woman a seat on the bus and she fainted. When she revived, she thanked him and he fainted. Pretty much where we're at. But you know what? It's not just in the world. It's not just in the world. We need gentlemen today. I still believe in the old-fashioned gentlemen. Gentlemen who know that to treat a girl and a woman differently is what's expected. I'm sorry, but I don't always see that. That's lacking. And I think the other side of the coin is just as true. We need more ladies who won't consider it acceptable for men to be less than gentlemen. I put some of that responsibility on the ladies or the girls. They don't seem to care sometimes if the man's a gentleman or not. You know, sometimes good manners seem to not be as important, and actions which were once embarrassing seem to no longer be, and maybe now they almost seem to be cool. Another way of showing love through being courteous, showing respect, being courteous. But another way is in our tipping when we eat out in a restaurant. I know I'm over time. Sorry, I'm going to try to wrap it up quickly. If we can't give a decent tip, then we shouldn't go out to eat where it's expected, where a tip's expected. It's a bad testimony of our love. Loving others involves giving encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren. We encourage, comfort the faint-hearted. It says, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded or the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient toward all men. 1 Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, that it's encouraging, builds up. Edifying means building up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Build up, to be a house builder, construct, encouraging with words or actions. It's a way of loving. Someone has said, and I really like this, encouragement is brick by brick, words, word by word, action by action, building towards Jesus. I like that. Encouragement. You know, everybody needs it. Everybody can do it. Everybody can give it. Encouraging words of love can have a tremendous impact. Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Words can show understanding, compassion, appreciation, or they can go the other way. It's a way that we can love others, though, when we use encouraging words. Actions such, again, as smiling at people, lending a listening ear, giving of gifts, giving a card, are ways to love others. You know, one of the most encouraging cards I got, and they all were encouraging, or that I get. One was several years back during my first round with this kidney situation. Some of you know we did go before COVID, BC, before COVID. We would go, some guys from church here and our softball team would go up to the prison where Jeff sat, Jeff Clapsaddle. We'd play softball against the prisoners. Miss some guys. We haven't been able to go for a couple of years. At any rate, one of the cards I received was from the prisoners. Some of them I didn't even know who they were. Encouraging. That's encouraging. Just being there for someone can be encouraging. What does loving others look like? It's sharing in their needs, serving them, speaking the truth in love, covering sins, forgiving. It's long-suffering and patient. It's being kind, being courteous and respectful, and it's giving encouragement. We're not covering all the bases here this morning. That wasn't the point. Loving others is also sacrificing. I believe Brother Brian mentioned that in his message, and being unselfish. It's living out love as defined in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 is a list of do's and don'ts, what love does, what it doesn't. Sometimes we like lists of do's and don'ts, don't we? Yeah, we do. But I wonder if we overlooked the one in 1 Corinthians 13 too many times. The one that might be more important than some other do's and don't lists we have. Love is not boastful, does not insist on having its own way, is not stubborn. Someone has said, if we love, it will get people's attention. If we don't, they will never listen. So true. Good advice to all fathers here, leaders of homes, leaders of churches. You know, all these ways of loving involve acts, so they are a choice that we make. So we can choose to do them or not to. It's our debt to continue to pay on but never pay off. So important. We maybe don't give enough credit to it, how important and top priority it should be. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have a fervent charity or love amongst you. No matter what, love never fails. It's always right. We'll never regret loving. Never. We'll never regret loving. It's an essential motive to everything we do. I want you to think about this. I'm going to leave you with this. Someone has said the Christian life can be lived like this. Love everyone perfectly, including God, and do whatever you want. Think about it. It's true. If you loved everyone perfectly, you can do whatever you want. Because to love fulfills the whole law. Amazing. How important is it to you? How important is it to me? It's something I got to work on. I imagine you might too. Lord bless you.
Bible has a lot to say about love. And our brother has given us a good idea what love is and what it should be. I'd just like to read one verse here. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Let us pray. Want to stand for prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privileges we've had.